Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, a Pittsburgh Steelers podcast made by fans like you, for fans like you. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma. His name is Brian Roach, and we are up at a late hour recording this special edition covering the first round of the 2017 NFL Draft. All of the picks are in, and now we're going to talk about them. But before I do, what a wild night, Brian. I'm running on Gatorade and beer, the Gatorade after the beer, of course. I know you have some fuel in the tank as well.
Yeah, I doubled up on Red Bulls and two Neurosonics.
Someone from Neurosonic has to listen to this show. They just have no idea how many free plugs that they get. Okay, well, do we want to start? Do we want to jump this whole draft and go to pick 30 and then just call everyone else stupid? Is that how we kind of want to roll with this? Or I think we should. I think
sure.
I'm happy. I talked with a lot of people. Somebody's going to be like, no, you're just a liar. Hey, these mock draft things, they don't always, it's why they're mock drafts, but how many times have we talked about, I've said I would not be upset if TJ Watt were the first round pick, and as much as I'm super biased and still want Derek Rivers and will be biting my fingernails down to my fingers to the bone come round two and three to see where he goes, I'm not upset. I'm not upset at all. I like this pick. What do you think, Brian?
I think it's a good pick. I do think it does bring into question what we do in round two, because it's really hard to double dip one and two. But I think it shouldn't be a surprise. They showed interest in Watt. He's been rising on draft boards. He's been in some mocks. And he's got a lot of upside. I mean, you know, when they were talking, when Tomlin and Colbert were talking after, a lot of the reporters wanted to say he was raw, and Tomlin said, no, he's not raw. He's just inexperienced. They talked about his hands. They talked about a lot of stuff. The more I think we learn, as it happened last year with Artie Burns, the more I think we're going to like this pick.
Oh, I think so too. And like I went through all of the edge rushers in an episode maybe last week or earlier in the week. And I was talking about, I was saying, you know, I wouldn't be so upset. It looked like a lot of the guys they were targeting in the first round were primarily safeties. And just seeing some of the corners that came off the board, of course, Gary and Conley having his situation, and then the Raiders going and picking him up, that was a good problem for us to not have. In fact, we'll talk about a few of these, because I'm quite thrilled with a few of the moves that happened. It means the Steelers did not have to take a risk on some maybe questionable characters or off-field problem type guys, injury type guys. Let other teams deal with that. And then, of course, we saw the quarterback carousel go around. But hey, I want to give myself a high five right here, because it was called a hot take. And I know there were some people out there that just thought, you know, I'm a complete bozo who doesn't know what I'm talking about. But I said on this show, and I wrote it in an article, I said the Cleveland Browns would trade back into the first round. Now, I thought maybe for a quarterback, they did not take a quarterback, just like I had predicted with their first two picks. You know what? A squirrel finds a nut every now and then. They went to pick 29 instead of pick 30, but they still went in there. And you know what? They got, I think, a little bit of a smokescreen. You know, the Steelers were down at Miami's pro day, and they were definitely looking at David Njoku. I wonder if that gave them a little bit of a scare in thinking that Pittsburgh, I mean, we saw Evan Engram being mocked and some other crazy stuff like Deshaun Kizer, and nobody flipped out and went after him. So, you know what? I'm happy with it. Take those guys off the board, and now you don't have to worry about that, at least with the Steelers reaching for like a tight end or something like that. I think they got their guy in TJ Watt.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was quite a crazy night. Cleveland did a lot of moving. They did the smart thing at one. And from that point on, I don't know. It's I mean, you can't complain from the standpoint of they now have two number ones next year and three number twos. That's I mean, there's that's a huge number of upper draft picks next year. I don't know how or where they're going to put all these guys that they're stocking these picks for, or if they're simply saying, you know what, next year is going to be better quarterbacks. So we're going to stockpile talent right now, and next year we've got the ammunition. If we are a little better this year and we don't have the number one pick, if we want to move up, we've got stuff to trade.
This is funny because this is water cooler talk, and as most people know, I live in Northeast Ohio, so I am surrounded with Browns fans and Steelers fans, about an even split, maybe a little more favoring the Steelers since they've been winning and the Browns have been not winning. And that's exactly what my comment was, is that Cleveland is not a 500 team this year, no matter who they add to this roster. I don't think so. That still puts them in maybe the top 15 picks. And that's what I have a few friends and one of my good buddies, a big football nut and big Browns fan, and this is exactly what he said. He did not want to touch any of these quarterbacks. He said there were no franchise quarterbacks in this draft. He was thrilled with Myles Garrett. He's okay with Peppers. Of course, being a Buckeyes fan, he didn't necessarily like having a Michigan guy. And I think that's what Rich Eisen was getting at, if you saw the NFL Network broadcast. They kept showing the Browns party, and it's like he said strange bedfellows, but he didn't really explain that Cleveland is kind of an Ohio State type area, and it's also pushing that area that's you're getting a little bit closer when you're west of Cleveland. You're getting close to almost Michigan, the actual state, the actual border. And let me tell you, those things don't mix. It's oil and water. You know what I mean? It's like it's Bengals and Steelers or Bengals and Ravens for people who don't understand and aren't Ohio State fans and aren't close with that rivalry. They call Michigan the part of Ohio no one wanted. So it's strange bedfellows. It's funny because they're celebrating this pick, and there's a bunch of people that are talking, oh, what are the Browns doing? And then there's others that are just, you know, this is the only time they could get excited during the year because they haven't lost a game yet. And moving ahead and getting in Joku, I think that was good. I told somebody earlier, they could still roll with Osweiler. He's serviceable. They worked on the line in free agency. They can add some weapons to the offense. A tight end would be a good outlet for them. Myles Garrett, obviously, great player. Get somebody in the secondary. And they still have, like, what? Do they have two or three second round? Well, they traded. I'm sorry. They did trade with Green
Bay. They've got one left.
Yeah, they got one left in the second round. So no longer the five picks before 65. 65 is their next one, actually, a few picks after the Steelers go at 62. And we'll talk about some of the names that are still here on the board, though. But, yeah, they didn't screw it up with Myles Garrett. But do you have, like, that little pit in your stomach when the Bears – what are the Bears thinking? Did they really think San Francisco – San Francisco had a really good poker face going. Did they bluff and say, nah, we're going to take Mitch Trubisky if you don't move up with I don't get what they did there. It just
I'm telling you, the San Francisco 49ers stole – they owned this first round. That they went to Chicago and they took their pants off. They took all their money out of their pants. They took their belt, they threw their pants up over the clotheslines, then they took their shoes. I mean, they just robbed the Bears to move up one spot. It was crazy what they managed to pull off for that. And they still got their guy. Because, you know, I think that Solomon Thomas was their guy no matter what.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So they got their guy, and they got a ton of stuff for it. I was checking the draft grades as we were going along in this, and you know that pick by the Bears gets a big D. it's too high. We've talked ad nauseum about the fact that there's no franchise quarterback in this draft, and you know you forget Mitch Trubisky or whatever you say his name. He's only started 13 games in college.
Yeah, and I mean, I know
you're taking a huge risk.
I know that Cam Newton did it, and I know Cam Newton only played 12, but I don't know that Mitch Trubisky is the same athlete as Cam Newton. And Cam Newton does not have a good completion rate as a quarterback. He was getting by with the deep ball, and he gets by with his feet. And we see eventually what happens when guys can't get around with their feet. I mean, you look at Ben right now. He's like a statue out there. He used to get by on his legs a lot early. I mean, Michael Vick, hello. I mean, Ben's far more accurate. I don't want to throw him in the same category as like Cam Newton, but you know, this Trubisky pick, it's just, I would have called their bluff. Let him take Solomon Thomas. I mean, did you think that Trubisky, you just signed Mike Glennon. You really think that Trubisky is that big a deal? Now, I talked about Chicago being a potential trade partner. It showed up in the Fan Speak mock drafts and some of these other mock drafts, and depending on what board you used. And lo and behold, I think I tweeted something earlier. I know I said it in our little private chats that we have here with the whole staff here at Steel City Underground. And I said, add Chicago to this list with Jacksonville. Now, Jacksonville stood pat. And the Browns moved and the Bears moved. And surprisingly, you know what was pretty funny tonight? The tweets. The Bills were finally on the clock after having moved. And the Vikings just kept tweeting videos of their mascot wasting time in one of their training facilities because they didn't have a pick. So that was pretty cool, too. But yeah, Solomon Thomas, I think, was their guy all along the entire time. And I think there were some surprises here going through Jacksonville, Leonard Fournette. I mean, obviously they must think TJ Yeldon, Chris Ivory, those didn't work out. Well, we're going to try Fournette now. So,
I mean, that it makes sense. They need to give Bortles some help, take some of the pressure off of him. And if they can have a running back who can, you know, produce, that will help them. I don't know if Fournette's going to be that guy.
I think they think that Fournette is going to be Ezekiel Elliott this year, and I don't know either. And let me I was able to pull this up. So San Francisco, for Chicago to move up one spot and San Francisco to still get their guy, San Francisco was paid, not only that, just swapping that pick, so they moved back one. They got a third round, a fourth round this year. So they got the 67th and 111th picks, and then the third round selection in 2018. That's insanity. I don't get it. It just, I kicked myself.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a lot to give up for one spot. And you know, that's what I'm saying. They fleeced the Bears, and they totally poker faced them, because the Bears had to believe that they were not going to get their guy.
I mean, I know John Lynch was an intimidating guy on the field. Like, do they do like a Skype video chat and he stares people down? Like, I don't know what it was that did it, but
that was he was there. You go, your draft day. He's Kevin Costner right there.
It was. And Tennessee at number five. I think I'm not as surprised they went wide receiver. I think I'm more surprised they went with Corey Davis over Mike Williams. That one kind of shocked me as well. Williams goes two picks later to the Los Angeles Chargers, and that was kind of a pick. I didn't understand that either. I mean, the Chargers, I think the Chargers have a lot of needs. And I understand Phillip Rivers, you know, he throws the ball. Their offense is like, you know, what is it, 90% passing, 10% running the ball.
Yep.
But still, like, you know, Keenan Allen, unless they think he's just not going to be healthy, I guess you add a piece. I mean, I guess I can't hate it. But a pick later, Christian McCaffrey goes to the Panthers, and there was a lot of talk about him going to the Chargers, but they left late. There were a lot of good defensive players at that time. You still had Marshawn Lattimore on the board. You still had Malik Hooker, who goes all the way down at 15. I mean, that's pretty
crazy.
It's absolutely crazy. And then the Titans also taking Corey Davis. They pass on Jamal Adams, too. I don't know.
I don't have a problem at all with the Titans pick. And, you know, it's – whether it was Williams or Corey Davis, I think is a, you know, it's whether you like tomato or tomato, kind of. It was a coin flip. The interesting thing to me about the Chargers taking Mike Williams is that how many years do we have to continue to hear how porous Los Angeles Chargers is, how porous their offensive line is? I mean, it's great that Philip Rivers has weapons, but if he's getting crushed all the time, how's he getting the ball to them? I don't know. I question that pick a little bit, but what are you going to do? And you're right. They had needs at corner. They had needs on defense that could have been met. I can't believe Malik Hooker dropped as far as he did. But nonetheless, he did. Now, I'm okay with the Christian McCaffrey pick. I think it's too high for him, to be quite frank. I know that people were talking about it a lot. I have the same problem there because Michael Orr is probably – he could be done. I mean, he could have to retire with his concussion problems. And, again, Cam was getting beat up last year, so why not try and protect your quarterback? And then you get to the Bengals.
Yeah. He's passing that one off to me, the Bungles. And Josh, at Terrible Josh, maybe six or something, because he's being clever with the thing. But I can't think of Josh's last name right now. Josh Fitzer. Who writes here at Steel City Underground, said that the Bengals were going to draft a playoff victory. And I said, that one will be a bust. And it already looks that way. I understand they have 11 picks in this deal. They didn't try and make any moves that I'm aware of. Never heard any chirping, and you know, the little birdies get their information. Nobody tweeting, nobody doing anything. John Ross here, I understand he's fast. There's concern about injuries with this guy too. I don't get this one personally, because we're looking at this how many times in a row. There's offensive linemen did not go in the first 15 picks of the draft for the first time in the modern era. And I don't think – how far did we have to go down until one was actually taken? I think the first one was with the Denver Broncos at 20. So you look at – we're just talking about this. The guys that are getting beat up. Philip Rivers somehow still playing 16 games a season. Eventually, I mean, he's getting older. Eventually, this guy is going to break like a collarbone, separate a shoulder. There's going to be something that's going to happen to him, and then they're going to be really screwed because they're not protecting him. You're not going to be able to run the ball without decent linemen either, so then you're just stuck, you know, shocking and heaving it. I guess that works in the case of Mike Williams or Keenan Allen. Antonio Gates, how much longer is that guy going to play too? But we were talking about this just recently that everybody's talking about, well, Ben's getting up there. He's taking a lot of abuse, but nobody's taken more abuse than Philip Rivers over the last 5 years. I went through those statistics. And it's like overwhelmingly Philip Rivers, as the Steelers got their act together and got all these guys. They went out and got like a David DeCastro and a Marcus Gilbert, and they made sure they anchored the line with Pouncey, and they found some undrafted guys that worked out, like Ramon Foster and Big Al, Alejandro Villanueva. They figured this out. The Panthers have not figured this out. The Chargers have not figured this out. Now the Bengals are about to. I thought the Bengals would have learned this last year, and then they let some guys walk. Now they're going to have the same problem, but hey, you know, like you said, speed kills. Drugs are bad, okay? And that's exactly what I think this John Ross pick is, because they just went and got Tyler Boyd last year. Tyler Eifert has been a constant injury history. I thought maybe they could even be in play for a tight end at some point here. And they're going to have to make a decision, I think, on a fifth-year option if they haven't already. I wasn't really paying attention to Cincinnati to see if they had done something like that. I don't know where Ross fits in on all this. There's still Brandon LaFell. I mean, that's essentially just an older version of Ross. I mean, maybe I'm downplaying Ross a little bit, but I don't know that he's A.J. Green. I don't know that you need two A.J. Greens if Andy Dalton is not an elite quarterback. That does not make any sense to me.
No, and I mean, he's not A.J. Green. First of all, he's 5'11". You know, he's not.
Well, that's the obvious,
He's not a tall guy. Yes, he's got speed, and he's more polished than let's say, Mike Wallace was when he came out. You know, he's not really a one-trick pony. But, man, you got to worry about his medicals. I mean, you're talking about foot injuries. You're talking about ACL injuries. You know, you got to worry about that. I mean, he came up lame at the pro day or at the combine a little bit after running his thing. That's concerning. So I think that's a little, you know, this is a little questionable pick on their part. You know, some of the graders are giving him a B. I wouldn't go that high because I really question this, especially with their needs in other areas. But hey, I'm not going to complain. It's the Bengals.
Yeah, and it bit them in the rear end last year, too, because they took William Jackson III, who never saw a snap because he was hurt, and that was their first-round pick. And then they took Billings, who never saw a snap either in the fourth round. And, well, we don't like those. I think the next few picks, this is incredible value. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs, they jump ahead of everybody here. They're probably thinking that the Saints and the Cardinals are looking at maybe a quarterback. And especially the Cardinals linked to Patrick Mahomes. They trade. They go get him. The guy's going to be sitting behind Alex Smith, which is probably a good situation. I don't know that Alex Smith is ready to be, like, shoved out the door yet or what the situation is. But apparently the Chiefs want something better than dink and dunk. But that is what it is. I don't know how you feel about that one. This is just – it seems a little odd. I know they had the defense all built up, but there's what, Travis Kelce, there's maybe Jeremy Maclin for 8, 10, 12 games when he's healthy. And what else do they have there? I mean, the Spencer Ware, are you going to count on him always being the workhorse? I mean, he's not Jamal Charles, but then again, Jamal Charles hasn't been Jamal Charles either the last couple seasons. Yeah.
Well, and they let him go, so.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course.
I think the thing about this is it feels like an okay pick because they plan on letting him sit. There's no way this kid's going to start right away. But I think it gives them time to bring him into the system, to get him acclimated. You know, Andy Reid, he can deal with a quarterback. He can maybe use this kid in a lot of the same ways that he used Donovan McNabb when he was in the Eagles. But they gave up, again, they gave up a lot. I mean, they moved up how many spots, you know, from the 27th pick? All the way to 10, that's 17 spots, and they gave up next year's first rounder, and they gave up their third rounder this year, as well as, of course, the 27th pick. That's, again, it's a lot. So if this kid is not going to be their future, if he's a bust, man, you know, you've really hurt yourself next year. But apparently they liked him enough. I'm not as against this one as some of the others. I mean, you just knew when they were jumping up that far, it had to be for a quarterback.
Oh, yeah, of course. And here's the thing we've been saying. And do you think Kansas City is close? Do you think they're a Super Bowl contender? Does taking this guy and using two first-round picks this year's and next year's for a backup quarterback the path to getting to the Super Bowl, unless you think he's the starter next year and he's going to be better than Alex Smith, if he's going to be the franchise guy and, I don't know, do whatever miracles with this offense, okay, maybe it'll be, maybe it'll prove us all wrong, but right now, I don't know. I mean, I'm not crapping on it as much as the others too, but I'm just giving it that same perspective as I was questioning with the Steelers. Would drafting a quarterback beat the New England Patriots? If you're the Texans, maybe, because I think if they had somebody other than Brock Osweiler in the playoff game, they actually would have beaten the New England Patriots. And just jumping over the Saints pick real quick, well, we'll cover the Saints. Another Ohio State Buckeye here. Marshawn Lattimore falls right into their lap at a position in need, and an excellent player, I think.
It's a great pick.
Awesome pick. Do we need to say anything more than that? I think we could go to Deshaun
Watson.
It's
one of the best picks in the top 10.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, 11, so 11, close enough. But, yeah, Watson. I don't know how to feel about this. I guess Houston felt that was their guy, and I think this could be the nail in the coffin. Maybe not for Bill O'Brien, but was it Rich McKay that's their general manager? I mean, it was Brian Hoyer. And then look at all these different things that they've done with the Browns. They've given the Browns their entire draft for, like, this year and next year to get rid of Brock Osweiler, who you lured away with this huge contract a year earlier. And then now you're coming and getting Deshaun Watson. This is another one where you better be right, because if you're wrong, it's going to cost some people some jobs.
Yeah, we were talking about this as we were watching the draft in the SEU chat room. I guess if Tom Savage is your quarterback, you got to do something, you know. But again, they gave up next year's number one. They've already lost next year's number two. And they gave up a bunch of stuff in this year. I mean, how I just can't see it. First of all, I don't think Deshaun Watson is going to pan out. It's rare. You know, Marcus Mariota is a spread offense guy that has been panning out, but they, for the most part, it's tough for these guys in the NFL. And I don't know if Deshaun Watson is going to pan out. I'm certainly not wishing him ill, but I just don't know. And they gave up so much to jump up there and get him. It feels like desperation to me. And I guess, like I said, if Tom Savage is what you've got in the ballpark, who else do they got? I don't even remember now.
I got to look now. I keep thinking TJ Yates, but he was with the Dolphins last check.
Is it Mallett? No, not Mallett.
No, Mallett's with the Ravens. We'll look that one up. But they've just been, like I said, with Hoyer and then Osweiler and even with Savage, they've been terrible at evaluating quarterbacks. And that's they kind of brought Bill O'Brien in to be the kind of mold the New England Patriots type situation there, and they just have not been able to do it. And I think it may be time, if this one doesn't work, you're going to see Rich McKay out of there in about a year or so. Arizona Cardinals now are sitting there, and they're looking at this board. Now Mahomes is gone, and I don't know. I don't know that they're necessarily looking for a replacement for Palmer, but I thought Hassan Reddick was a very good fit for them.
I thought it's one of my favorite picks in the entire first round. I really like Hassan Reddick. I just didn't like him for us because of where I think he's going to play. They have him listed as an outside linebacker. I don't think that's where he's going to fit. I think he's going to be an inside guy. And if the Cardinals try and play him out of position, they may regret this pick. But, you know, the kid is he's a great kid, and he's got a huge motor, and he's got a great story. So, you know, you can't help but like the fact that he's a success story, and hopefully that continues. I really like that pick.
So I found our other Texans quarterback. This is why I couldn't think of it. He was the 22nd pick overall. So he went a little bit later in the 2012 draft in the first round. Brandon Whedon, formerly of the Cleveland Browns. So, yeah, it just tells you how these things all come around in a full circle. So that's good for its own chuckle. Derek Barnett goes to the Eagles at 14. I liked Derek Barnett there. I like Malik Hooker at safety for the Colts, another position of need for them. And then I don't know that this is a position in need for the Ravens, but this is not good news, and you have Harbaugh already running his mouth saying the teams aren't going to be able to throw against them. This guy hasn't even played a down yet. Who knows what's going to happen? Marlon Humphrey, who I'd actually penciled in for the Steelers on my own mock draft. Now, I just wasn't pulling names out of thin air. This is one that fell in one of these various many computer-generated things that I actually went through and picked individually based on how this board went. I didn't think he was going to get to 30, but I'm really upset that he didn't get past 16.
I feel you, you know, but here's my thought on this. All right. Marlon Humphrey's, he's 6 foot. He ran like a 4.41 40, and he has had issues. He's very physical, which, you know, that's fine, except he gets a lot of PIs.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for Harbaugh to be running around, oh, nobody's going to be able to throw against us. I'm sorry. You put Humphreys up against, you know, Martavis. I think Martavis wins.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's the same thing though. Like, they don't really care about flags either side of the ball. Like I said, it's the jump ball thing. And when we're talking about the mock draft, they don't care about any way they can win. They can win. If they find like that, like one rule they could circumvent, like let's let our punter run around in the end zone and then get a safety or have some whatever goofy thing they find in the subsection, find footprint, whatever you want to call it. I'm fading here, man. I might need a neurosonic. but yeah, Tavon Young had this same problem. Tavon Young. I'm sorry. I didn't want to say Tavon Austin. That's when I screwed up the last time. Completely different guy. But Tavon Young, a guy they took last year, I think he was a third or fourth rounder. He was a mid-round pick in a corner. A very similar type problem. So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, here's the problem with Baltimore. they're putting in this big secondary, and it's like, well, they still don't have a pass rush. You've gotten rid of, like, everybody. Jernigan's out the door now, and they still have picks coming up, but Jernigan's out the door. Dumervil's out the door. Suggs is on his way out the door, and then they also, they've never really recovered, I think, from a Haloti Ngata. At least they re-signed Brandon Williams.
Right.
Zach Orr's gone. They have a lot of pressing needs. I didn't necessarily – they cut Sharice Wright, but they signed what's his name? Wasn't it one of the Cowboys guys or something? Brandon Carr? Was that who it was?
Maybe. I can't remember either.
It just made no sense to me. And they're just going to stash the guy. Maybe they feel somebody isn't going to be healthy, or maybe – I don't know what this pick was. It really did surprise me, and it disappointed me. And I didn't necessarily think the Steelers had shown some interest, but I didn't think necessarily that he was going to be the guy. We'll put it this way. I'm much happier to have T.J. Watt at number 30 than Marlon Humphrey at number 30. The Redskins were probably equally surprised to find Jonathan Allen there at number 17 as well.
I can't believe it took them as long as it did to get that pickup. because they had to be sitting there going, as soon as Baltimore's pick was in and they knew Jonathan Allen was available, they had, why not just run it up?
Yeah.
That's a perfect fit for them. It's a guy who probably should have gone in the top five. I know that there's some concern about his shoulders, but this is a really high level pick. I think it's a good pick for them.
I agree. I like it. And you know, no ill will towards the Redskins. No. And then the Titans, they do get their corner. They get Adoree Jackson from USC. Mm-hmm. And did I hear correctly? He's the first, Southern Cal secondary or defensive back to go in the first round since Troy Polamalu? Was that correct? I heard that.
Yep.
That blew my mind. So what can I say? Adoree Jackson, I didn't think – when they said that he was going to be there in the green room or whatever, I said, well, that guy's not going to make it to 30. Another guy I didn't think either was O.J. Howard, and he almost fell right to where we mocked him. And, I mean, who cares if our mocks were wrecked? I mean, it was all for fun anyways. But yeah. Tampa Bay – gets O.J. Howard, and I mean, you put him on the field, you got DeSean Jackson, you got Mike Evans. Holy cow, that's starting to look a little scary over there in Southern Florida.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for New Orleans and Atlanta. I mean, Tampa's going to be a much better team this year, and that their offense potentially could be explosive with the kind of weapons that they have there. The question will then be, do they draft a running back later? Because, you know, what's the little guy's?
Muscle Hamster.
Yeah, Muscle Hamster. Didn't have a great year last year. No. And, you know, he could be on the downside of his career. So they need to address that. But, man, they're loaded with downfield weapons.
Yeah, it was Doug Martin. They also have Charles Sims, too, who isn't too bad of a player. And they still got some like other like role players there, like Adam Humphreys, that actually had a pretty surprising year as well. So I think their fortune's already looking up, and we'll see what else they end up doing. The Broncos got somebody, like we said, they probably saw that Howard thing come off the board. I think I saw a Broncos beat writer tweet out something like, well, I know tight end might not be a priority, but I don't know how the Broncos could look past if Howard makes it here to 20. Well, he didn't. And so they went with the tackle, the first offensive lineman off the board with Garrett Bowles. Detroit Lions, I was happy to see this, Jerod Davis come off the board, only because I didn't think he was a fit for the Steelers either. And I'm going to say the same thing. I'm still sticking to this. I was kind of surprised he went to the Dolphins, but Charles Harris, the defensive end from Missouri, and Evan Engram with the New York Giants, tight end. Happy to see. Actually, you know what? Let's keep going with this. The Raiders with Gerrion Conley, only because of his off-field drama that's going on right now, and put through, what, a lie detector test by some, like, crazy certified whatever. And I don't know. Maybe the guy was, like, works for some X-Files type bureau from the way they were talking about it. I don't know. And they put him on the thing in Rogue One. They had the creature that, like, you know, just sought out all his feelings, and he found out that he was cool, and then the Raiders took him. So, and then the Browns with Jabril Peppers, and the Falcons with Tack McKinley. That's like six picks right there in a row of all these guys that have been mocked to the Steelers, and I was more than happy that other teams were taking on this risk and not Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the Peppers thing, I couldn't have been more pleased when the Browns took Peppers. And again, the graders, big F on that one. I mean, I've said all along, Jabril Peppers is a jack of all trades and master of none. He doesn't have a set position yet. He's a great athlete. Will he turn into a great professional? I don't know. I just don't know that he's that good at any one thing. Maybe as a return specialist. Tack, I think, is a great pick for Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta moving up to get to Karis McKinley helps them, and they needed that help considering that, you know, the teams in their division are getting better. So that was a decent pick. And then, you know, we go to Buffalo finally getting on the board, and they get a corner, Tre'Davious White from LSU, which I think is a decent pick for them. And then this is another one I was glad to see go.
Yes, I was too.
Dallas Cowboys take Taco Charlton. I was very glad to see that go because I want nothing to do with him. Again, I don't think he was a good scheme fit for us. And then, you know, the Browns get back in here with their third pick and they take Njoku. And I really like David Njoku. I think it's a good pick for the Browns, but they have a tight end in Bainbridge. So now they've got a double-edged weapon there, but I'm not sure who's throwing them the ball.
Nobody does. Yeah. You never know. They might get Josh McCown back over there or RG3 or
yeah,
who knows? Who knows? There was that rumor about them going after Kirk Cousins. I'm like, oh, come on. Don't do that. That's just silly. I mean, I don't know. But just looking at this overall, like I said, Gerard Davis, not a guy I felt was a scheme fit. Charles Harris, I didn't necessarily care for. Evan Engram, I think we almost had Engram or Njoku going to the Giants because we said Eli Manning hadn't had a tight end in New York for several years. So that's going to help him. And that helps also with some of the blocking in the offensive scheme. And Peppers, I mean, you said it all. And then Tack McKinley, man. I mean, this guy, he seems like an intense dude. But Deion Sanders even had to tell him, hey, man, leave it for the field. Harness that channel that for when you're on the field. Dropping the F-bomb already. I'd already joked that Falcons are already on the phone and trying to deal on Tack McKinley. Like, what did we just do?
when he took, you know, these guys are under, you know, this is the biggest night of their lives.
Yeah.
Up to this point. And clearly, you know, with his grandmother passing and the emotions that he's going through, you know, because, like I said, I like Tack McKinley a lot. I would not have been upset had he fallen to us, even with his shoulder problem. But he kind of had a little meltdown there.
You know what? And I'm not throwing any shade at the guy. I was chuckling a little bit. I mean, I could sympathize with it. Like you said, this is a pressure cooker. All of the things these guys, I mean, they are measuring like little hairs on these guys' arms to see, oh, can we shave off another hundredth of a second on this time when you get your pro day? And just they're under a microscope for every single thing. So I'm surprised we don't actually see more outbursts like that. But the funny part is he's just like, go ahead, find me later, I don't care. And just I thought that was kind of silly. And and Roger Goodell opening this whole night up, holding his hands up like Johnny Manziel a few years earlier with the little Money Manziel thing and kind of almost saying, come on, Philadelphia fans, let me hear you. And they're just boo even louder. I'm like, is this Vince McMahon that's up at the podium? I don't know. Yeah. I can't tell the difference, man. He almost plays such a bad guy there. But, yeah, Njoku goes, maybe there's a little bit of the smokescreen thing. The Steelers get T.J. Watt. Well, we'll come back around the Watt in a second. And then here's a guy that I thought might have been on the radar, and San Francisco was just too happy to get back in the first round and go grab Reuben Foster from Alabama. Apparently, they're not concerned with – I guess they've dealt with enough off-field or problems or any type of character issues or anything like that that – they're just like, okay, we've seen this. Hold my beer.
Yeah, I really don't think it's character issues with Reuben Foster. I think it's his medicals. They were pretty clear when Gerard Davis went to Detroit. You know, they were talking this up big time, especially on NFL Network. Mayock was talking about this has to be his shoulder, and issues with his shoulder. I don't think it had anything to do with his diluted sample. And the real question is, at what point was that shoulder worth the risk? And obviously San Francisco thought right here at 31, it is. I didn't see the details on that specific trade, what they had to give up. I know that the Browns moving up to get Njoku, they only had to give up a fourth rounder. And I think that was a nice deal for them, but I'm not sure what they had to give up to get Reuben Foster, but clearly they thought it's worth the risk. And if that guy pans out, that's a steal. I mean, that's a huge value pick at that point in the draft. If he's okay.
The thing I was thinking of was the outburst with the nurse and getting dismissed from the combine or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I got to wonder if that has anything to do with the diluted sample type thing. I mean, I don't think they have instant results or anything like that, but I wonder if it had anything to do with the administration of said test. So maybe, or maybe I'm just grasping at straws or whatever. And then kind of surprising, New Orleans. I mean, they got their corner already. You think they would go heavy on defense, but I guess they felt, since there weren't a whole lot of linemen that went, they went with an offensive tackle on Ryan Ramczyk from Wisconsin.
Yeah, and in most of the sims that I was running, people would jump back up to get him. In fact, that was a very big trade partner for at 30. It was usually a team jumping up to get Ramczyk. So I wasn't terribly surprised that he went, but it was a little surprised that New Orleans is where he went.
So TJ Watt, and we, you know what, we'll talk about TJ Watt more another time. I think we both have said enough, and we'll get some more numbers and things like that of that nature. But let's talk about some targets for the second and third rounds coming up. Here's some of the guys that are still available. Don't laugh. The first one, because I'm going through the quarterbacks. That's what's at the top of the list here. DeShone Kizer. I said the Kizer carrot is still dangling. Well, maybe not anymore. I don't think the Steelers have any more bargaining chips. But I predicted this guy going to the New York Jets. Let's see what happens here when the Jets pick. Because it would be great. The New York media will just eat this up. And then there's Davis Webb, also one of the top quarterbacks here. Let me see. Delvin Cook still out there, right? Florida
yep.
State. Let's see who else. Alvin Kamara, Joe Mixon. Those are your running backs. Most of the wide receivers. Yes. Most of the wide receivers are off the board. There's still Curtis Samuel. There's Juju Smith-Schuster, who I've seen mocked second, third round, somewhere within there. The tight ends, we had three come off the board. There's still Jared Everett, and then there's also Adam Shaheen.
And Bucky Hodges.
Bucky Hodges. I guess we go in the third round, like with Jake Butt. I was going with like what's considered like the top five of all these positions. That's what I have in front of me right now of who's left.
Okay,
and that's kind of funny because I'm looking at some of the offensive linemen. Dan Feeney, the comment I was going to make about Takaris McKinley is the same comment that we should make with TJ Watt here in Pittsburgh. James Harrison can't play forever, and of course Dwight Freeney cannot play forever. Both of those guys are ancient, and they need their successor, and that's what we're looking at here with the TAC pick and the TJ Watt pick. So lots of linemen left. Cam Robinson's still out there from Alabama. Going on to the defense, Malik McDowell, Chris Wormley, Caleb Brantley, Montrevious Adams, a bunch of defensive tackles, defensive ends mostly off the board here. Inside linebackers, very similar, Raekwon McMillan, probably looking at him as second or third round anyway. Zach Cunningham still out there from Vanderbilt, Tyus Bowser. And then, of course, T.J. Watt was ranked on this particular list as a third for a target for the Steelers. Tim Williams from Alabama, that was the one we were talking about. There was no way we could think that the Steelers would look at him.
Right.
Oh, let me see. Kevin King. That was my fancy, just I threw a dart at a board on our 32 pick first round mock draft. He didn't go at all. And everyone else here is off. That's Marlon Humphrey, Marshawn Lattimore, Gerrion Conley, Tre'Davious White. Some people didn't even think Conley was going to go. He ended up going. Safeties, Jamal Adams, Malik Hooker. You still got Buda Baker, Obi Milanofu. Those guys are still out there, and I'm not really interested in any specialists. What do we think the Steelers look at tomorrow? I think it's secondary, man, or maybe they do double dip.
I think it's all going to depend on how the board falls. I mean, it's changed dramatically because of all the trades. Now, Green Bay is the first one on the clock tomorrow. And then the Seahawks. So the Packers need secondary help. They need edge help. They're going to take a potential target for the Steelers off the board right away, almost assuredly. The Seahawks, they might go offensive line. I think that's how we mock them. So that's a possibility. It's really going to see what happens. I think you've got guys like Quincy Wilson, the cornerback from Florida, who is probably right under the top five. He could still be around. I think Chidobe will be gone before we pick. And it's really going to depend on how it falls. I think secondary is where they want to go, but if we get there and they feel like it's a reach, everybody is saying they really like Derek Rivers. So I don't want to jinx it, because I would love for them to take Derek Rivers. But it is hard to imagine them double dipping one and two. And I think much of the nation will go insane if they don't pick a secondary guy tomorrow.
Yeah, I think of the same thing. And I was trying to see who else that they may have had here as a top rated pick. And unfortunately, it doesn't go much further than what I was already looking at with the draft grades on NFL.com, trying to see if there's any other names that just pop up off the chart. And I'm not seeing much of anybody who I hadn't already mentioned. Josh Jones Marcus May were not mentioned either. Those guys are both safeties that the Steelers expressed interest in. A lot of people like Jordan Willis from Kansas State. I'm not sold on him whatsoever. Sidney Jones, the corner from Washington, who was hurt. And also Fabian Moreau is another guy who had an injury history. So it'll be interesting to see. We said Chidobe Awuzie, I believe, from Colorado already.
Yeah, we did.
And now we're definitely getting into some of these other second and third round picks. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a best player available situation. If they double dip, I could see the injury going crazy out there. But you know what? This is needed, and I'm going to say why. When Bud Dupree went down, what else did you have? I mean, you don't have Jarvis Jones. Not that you would necessarily want to trot Jarvis out there as your starter. You had to lean on Anthony Chiquillo. He had some spots where he was all right. You have James Harrison, who cannot play 100% of every game for a full 16 games. I'm sold on that. He is a freak of nature, but it's one of those things where let's keep him in the garage. Let's keep the engine running, and then we're going to put the pedal to the floor when it comes closer to playoff times, playoff contention, and the postseason. So what does this leave you? It leaves you Bud Dupree, unless you want to use Arthur Motes, and Arthur Motes didn't see a whole lot of playing time. He did early, and then he leveled off, and what we're really looking at, too, is looking ahead, and things could change. There could be extensions. There guys can be re-signed, but Anthony Chiquillo and Arthur Motes will be free agents following the 2017 season if their status does not change. And James Harrison could very well retire. He will be 40 years old next year.
Yeah.
So it leaves you Bud Dupree. Double dipping, not a bad idea, because let's say TJ doesn't work out. What if TJ gets hurt? What if Bud gets hurt? You're going to need somebody else there looking towards the future. Not to say they couldn't draft somebody or sign someone next offseason, but I think even this year it might not hurt to have more depth there. Do they have to do it round two? Don't say they have to do it there either, but if they're sold on Rivers as much as they showed interest in him, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
I really wouldn't be. I think the big concern is going to be when we get down late in where we're going to draft, is Green Bay going to take the guy we want? Is Dallas going to take the guy we want? Well, Dallas is probably not going to take another edge guy. They took an edge guy. If Green Bay takes like Carl Lawson or Jordan Willis or somebody in the top of the second, they're probably not going to take one. And that means Derek Rivers could still be there. And if Derek Rivers is still there, I don't have a problem with double dipping, especially if there isn't a corner there that they really like. The other thing that a lot of people are speculating is because we have that second, third round pick, will they move up? If there's a corner that they really have their eye on that's still left, will they move up? The hard part about this, and you were talking about it, they didn't have a lot of corners come in, and they didn't actually sit with a lot of corners anywhere. And the ones that they did were guys that they could take later in the draft, like Jalen Merrick and a couple other guys I can't remember off the top of my head now, probably because it's, you know, very late. But and the Red Bulls are wearing off. But it's, you know, they didn't have a lot of these top corners come in. So you don't know. While they don't always have to have a draft visit, they very rarely take a guy they haven't at least met with someplace, have some kind of contact with. They had dinner with T.J. Watt at his pro day. It's why he could be considered to be on their radar. They're not, you know, I think they do sometimes throw some smoke screens up. Generally speaking, when you get to the end of the draft, they've at some point met with the guys that they've picked. And that makes deciding what cornerback they're going to look at hard because they just haven't been that many.
Yep, and I totally agree. And I think, you know what, that's a pretty good place to leave this off because we're going to have plenty to talk about once we complete the second and third rounds. Probably late Friday and maybe even early Saturday from as long as the first round went. I mean, Cleveland, did you really need to take all that time to decide on Myles Garrett? Come on. You're fielding offers. You've been fielding offers since the day you lost Landry Jones in overtime. So I don't want to hear this crap about, you know, they had to take all this time. You're just keeping people like myself and Brian awake into the wee hours of the morning. And I feel even worse for some people I know that are in different time zones headed the other direction that are up at like 3, 4, 5 in the morning, especially if you're fans over in the UK. So, you know what, Brian, I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to talk to you again real soon and see who our next two picks are. Well, three picks, I should say, because there's two in the third round.
Absolutely. I'm going to make a predictive guess here. I actually am going to say we take Derek Rivers and Sidney Jones in the third.
Ooh, I think, you know what, five of us took Derek Rivers in the second round, and Terry had him in the first. But in all fairness, Terry also had T.J. Watt in the second. So let's just flip those two, and we have six of, I think, nine of us put our brains together and made some of those picks. And they're still out there if you want to check it out on steelcityunderground.com. Until next time, folks, be safe, be good, and we will catch you again very soon. Talk to you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.